Thank you for those tonight. Thank you for singing. Let's turn back to a passage that you probably don't usually expect to turn to for any kind of message, for that matter. But 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. You're familiar with the beginning of Chronicles. You know that we have a bunch of names through here. And that's the part of the Bible reading schedule that gets a little tedious. And it's like, oh, can I go over these? Can I just set this aside for a few days and pick it back up when the narrative comes back? But this is one of those reasons why it's good to read through here. And so we'll be looking at verses 9 and 10 tonight. The prayer of Jabez as he's bearing out these genealogies. We come to verse 9, kind of in the midst of this, if you're, you know, not getting into brain freeze, but just kind of getting numbed with the names, and then you come on to verse 9 and 10, and it should cause you to pause and say, okay, here's something a little unique. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So I want us just to take a brief time tonight and touch on this prayer of Jabez. And so before we begin, let's pray. Father, we do ask that you bless now your word as it goes forth. Encourage our hearts as we look at this prayer of this really unknown man. But Father, you in the midst of your word, in the midst of these genealogies, in the midst of these names, cause us to pause and to ponder and look at this brief little statement about Jabez, and yet such a gem that we have here. So encourage our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you travel across the great country of ours, you can see a lot of desolate landscape. Get a little further west into Kansas, and there's just not much to look at in eastern Colorado. Lots of places that just look like, okay, as they call it, this is flyover country. And yet, you stay around long enough, you can find some gems that are hidden in these places. Around the country, if you will just stop and look in the barrenness, if you will, and find that there's some really cool spots that you can find and look into and see that God has put there. And the landscape that we have in our country is truly just, it's amazing. And we have that in our text today. We have this seeming barrenness, if you will, landscape of name after name after name after name, after name, after name. And as I've said, it can be helpful. Find some other gems. Look up those meanings of those names and dig a little bit, and you find that there's some blessedness there. But God's kind of put us a bigger gem, if you will. Looking over the landscape, those little gems are small spots. This would be like kind of finding the Badlands or something. And seeing that, oh, looky here. Everything looks flat, and then it drops down, and we get down into this area, and there's some beauty here. And that's what God's given us to us here with the Jabez. He just brings him up and notes him. And so I want to look at this and just look at a few things here about this. I'm not going to develop this. I mean, I have it developed, but we'll just kind of touch on it as we look at his prayer. And note what it is that he does. Now, I realize there is a book from several decades ago by a man. He named it The Prayer of Jabez, and he looks at this prayer. And I would not encourage you to look at that book. I wouldn't encourage you to read it. He misses the point because this is not a good luck piece. This is not a prayer that you go off and start reciting over and over and over again. And God's going to do for you what he did for Jabez. It's God noting, yes, I answered Jabez's prayer. This is what Jabez prayed for. And so it's not, you know, really vain repetitions that the author says no to, but yet he does tell you to. So I thought, how can you have it both ways? You can't say, no, don't repeat it, and then later on say, repeat it, and you'll get the blessings that Jabez has. That doesn't work together. But we will look at his prayer, because again, in the midst of what's going on, we have this noted in how that God did answer his prayer. So let's look at this petition that he has, this prayer, and kind of touch it in pieces. A petition for advancement. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, to expand. And so a petition for advancement. And Jabez, in reality, and I say this in a good sense, he wasn't satisfied with what he had. He knew that God could supply more. And it's not that he was grumbling and complaining, because it's very obvious he's not. But he says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Greater influence. We don't know what Jabez did for a living. Was he a farmer? Was he a rancher? You know, what did he do? God doesn't tell us, but whatever it is that he's doing, he's asking for advancement in it. Expand my opportunities, if you will, Lord. And how well that is for us, whether it's in our job, whether it's in our social settings, you know, to ask God that thou wouldest bless me and indeed and enlarge my coast. Jabez longs for those blessings that God will give, and I think he understands God can give more blessings. We may have been blessed today. Is that going to be sufficient for tomorrow? No, they're not. That was now yesterday's blessings as tomorrow comes. Today's a new day, and his mercies are new every morning, as Jeremiah reminds us. But, you know, Jabez longs to increase that outreach, to push his borders out. Isaiah speaks along these lines in Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3, in his prophetic things that he has going on. He says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. This is, I think, probably in the prophetic area, looking at Israel and encouraging them, expand. God's going to use you. And this is how he's going to use you. You're going to reach out and be touching the Gentiles with your ministry, if you will. But he gives us these ideas of, yes, we should ask for advancement, if you will, opportunities, that God would allow us to push out beyond where we're at and in a sense, get out of our comfort zones. Do we like our comfort zones? We get into our habits. And we get settled, particularly as we are older. We like what we do. We're set, in some respects, in our ways. And I say that in a good sense. Sometimes they are bad senses for being set in our ways. But we get into that routine. We get into that custom. And we don't like to be expanding, especially if somebody else is putting the force upon us. We usually will push back and say, no, I'm comfortable where I'm at. And Jabez was saying, no, I'm wanting to expand. God bless so that I can have a greater sphere of influence, that I can reach out beyond where I'm at now, so that I may see your blessings and see how you will work on our behalf. So if God's going to push out our borders, we've got to do our part. And I say our part. One, being willing. And two, asking. God's not necessarily going to expand our borders if we're not really looking to him to expand our borders. You know, he's not going to push upon us necessarily things that we're not prepared to go forward with, because oftentimes we won't. It comes from our heart. He tells us where to take that first step. Draw nigh to the Lord, and he will draw nigh to you. He wants us to make those first moves. He's not going to force things upon us in this regard. And so he encourages us, you know, step out, expand, reach out, ask God for these things. And God may well indeed. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 18 noted, he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And he continues on with some statements there, but we note that, we often speak of that phrase, but there is that truth there in this principle, where there is no vision, the people perish. If there is no look forward, then are we going to go forward? Probably not. If we don't have, in essence, a goal, then where are we going? What are we accomplishing? And so God does well to encourage us to expand, put those goals out there, seek God for those goals, and watch how he will be at work in our lives. It demands faith on our part. Oftentimes as we look at these things, we may wonder, I'm not so sure as we see these things, you know, Lord, can I do this? I can't do it in God's strength. Do I have the faith to believe that God can enable this to happen? You know, as we look at various things, whether it be, as we touched on in the past, concerning, you know, reaching others for Christ, that may be something entirely new to us. Oh, Lord, help me to have the faith to make those steps, to follow through and speak to others and seek to engage and create conversations and create relationships that I can build upon so that the gospel can be given. That may be steps of faith for us, that God will give us the faith to move forward with that and see how he will work in those lives. But it demands, yes, faith on our part to move forward with that. It also speaks of work. We're going to have to do something to move forward with that. We're going to have to put some effort into it, if you will. God, give me the strength to do so. And God will open those doors as he desires to see us go forward, that God will be with us. We have that petition for advancement. We move on. A petition for divine guidance. In this understanding here, it says, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me. Jabez's understanding as he seeks God, it's not on Jabez's back to accomplish this. He understands it's not in Jabez's strength, because Jabez doesn't have the strength and neither do we. But I understand as we seek that advancement, Lord, that thy hand might be with me. God, I want you. I need you. If we're going to do these things, I need you, Lord. I need your grace. I need your strength. I need your help. And that comes by praying, as we see here. I mean, this is a prayer of Jabez. But it notes that as I don't know that it's original with this particular missionary, but Brother Needham, who is a missionary in Cameroon, noted this many years ago. If you pay attention and pick up on Anders Swanson's prayer letters, he is a son-in-law to Brother Neiman, to Needham, and he noted, much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power. And how they go hand in hand, that we take time to pray for these things. As God impresses upon our hearts to see that expansion and we step forward and engage with it, we do need the Lord to be there to help us, because it is his work, not ours. He's brought us in to partner with him, and he's using us, And it takes prayer to do that. And so we seek him, not just in praying for those things, but to continue with that. Lord, I need your strength, not just to start this, but also to sustain it as you open the doors. And you will help us. And so he asks for that. He has the petition for protection as he continues. He says, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Jabez understands that as he seeks to go forward for God, following his leading, doing his bidding, he knows there's an adversary that's not going to like it. And there will be pushback, if you will. And how well it does us as believers to understand that even in our day. We seek to go forward for the Lord. We can anticipate that we're going to have an adversary that doesn't like that. And is going to seek to try to discourage us. Will put things in our way to try to stop us. So that the advancement doesn't happen. And so we need to seek God to keep us from the evil. Keep us from that. Let that not be there. Help us so that we can be kept from evil. That it wouldn't entice us. That it wouldn't draw us away from the work God wants us to do. And it is so easy to get pulled away sometimes. We can get distracted. And by seemingly, benign, innocent things, but yet if we're not advancing and we're set aside, we're not advancing. And so we need to be careful with that and seek God out to follow through and go forward for what he has for us. He continues with that, that it may not grieve me, that it may not grieve me. May it not bring grief. And evil does. If we acquiesce to it, if we fall into sin and allow it to take over, it's going to grieve us and cause us grief, because we can't win against sin in our strength, in ourselves. We need his protection so that we're be kept from evil and that it would not grieve us. It would not cause us grief. And that grief comes by acquiescing to it. And so may we seek his cleansing and his forgiveness. Appreciate what Moses puts back in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, as he speaks to the Israelites. He says, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And be sure, your sins will find you out. How often we think that if we sin, nobody knows about it. God knows. He's watching. He sees us. He knows. And others see us. I think I've told the illustration. When I was in between times in college, I had visited Bob Jones. And I was heading back on a Sunday evening. I missed a turn. I went through downtown Raleigh on some one-way streets. I'm driving my stick shift, and I misjudged a light. I went through it red. I knew it. I looked to my right, and in the side traffic, there's a police car about two cars behind at the stoplight. I'm about three or four stoplights before I'm back on the highway. I said, either he will catch up to me or I will be out of the town and he won't get me. I think about one stoplight before I was back on the highway, he found me. He stopped me. It's fine. I'm guilty. I knew it. I took the ticket, went home. This is about 6 o'clock in the evening. I get home, I go to work in downtown New Bern the next day where I was working, parking out back, and a teller from the bank right next door parked about the same time I did, and guess what she said? Did I see you yesterday in Raleigh? We're 2.5 miles away from home, 105 miles away. What are the chances that somebody would see me, that would actually be working beside me? Yes. And I had to kind of sheepishly say, yes, you saw me. That was me on the side of the road with the fire, with the police officer's lights going behind me. I said, I ran a red light, and he caught me. So you don't know. I mean, I would have thought, yeah, right. Nobody in New Bern has seen me today with this. I mean, I wasn't concerned about it in that regard, but it was like, oh no, there's nobody up here from New Bern. I mean, that's over 100 miles away. That's a 2.5 hour trip. Nobody comes up on a Sunday afternoon, that kind of thing. No. Yes, there was. They were going home too on a Sunday evening. So, you know, we may think that nobody sees us, and yet people do. And we may often forget, yes, God sees us. And he's far more important than the teller next door to where I worked. There was nothing to apologize for her. Yes, yes, I got stopped. I ran a red light. And so he gave me a ticket for it. I deserved it. I knew I did it. I missed timing, and I was hoping that I might be able to sneak through. And nope, didn't happen. But God sees us. And may we never forget that. It's always helpful to understand he's there. Okay, I need not do this. I need to stay away from this. That petition for protection. So as we look at this prayer of Jabez, as we come through this time of reading through this, let's remember those things that he asks for. We can ask for them too. We don't have to pray this prayer. It's not these specific words that need to be repeated that are going to accomplish what God wants. But these things we too can pray for and should pray for advancement, for guidance, and for protection. These truths are there that are, you know, eternal. They're not just Old Testament truths, they're New Testament truths. We do need these. And so may we seek them out as we take time to pray. We have our prayer time here in a little bit. These can be parts of those things as we pray for the needs of others, for our own church and the things that we have, to take that and go forward in faith, believing our God's going to supply and meet the needs that we have, and knowing that he will, because we have his promises to such. So may we understand that and realize that this is not some good luck charm that we can take out and recite and somehow this is going to get us all these things. No, we can pray along these lines, and God will bless as he desires. I just thought to take a little encouragement, get us here in Chronicles, get this little gem that's here, pull it out, take a look at it, and kind of keep it there in our minds and realize that God puts some gems along the way as we read through the various books of our scriptures. And so I pray that it'll be an encouragement to us as we take time to pray tonight.